Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matacha.
Good afternoon, Zama.
Are you well?
I'm good. I'm good. Long time.
Long time and long time no speak. Have you been good, though?
I have been so good.
Lovely. Lord, great to have you on the show, man. I do hope that this year has been kind to you so far.
So far, so good. I'm not complaining.
Not complaining at all either. Well, we are talking about the exclusivity of Christ. You know, the context of the claim and many things that he says. I mean, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The setting is a table shadowed by betrayal in a room filled with fear. In John 14, the disciples were losing their grip on the future, but in their moment of deepest uncertainty, Christ gives them a map. He gave them himself, and today we are unpacking the backdrop of history's most audacious claim and why these words were originally meant to comfort the brokenhearted, not just to challenge the skeptic. Now, Pastor, we live in a culture that values tolerance and inclusivity. How do we approach a verse where Christ claims to be the only way? Looks like there's no room for diversity. There's no room for inclusivity. There's no room for cooperation. Where he says only way, and that's only him.
Yeah, this verse has actually sparked lots of debates on social media, religious platforms, and other academic institutions. John 14, verse 6, where Jesus claims that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's brave for him to say that. However, we need to understand the context through which Jesus was saying these things. When he listened to his disciples, that's the immediate context. On John chapter 14, Jesus was facing, was about to be arrested. The disciples were in expectations. They thought he had come to establish a kingdom and to topple the Roman government. Now that he started to talk about death and going back to the Father, they were kind of left nowhere. And they wanted to know, where is it that he is going? And he was saying, when I am done, I will come. So at some point, Thomas says, show us this Father. So they wanted to know where he's going. What is this Father that he's talking about? They were confused. And then he says this to give them an assurance. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So he was saying, I am the only way. That's the context through which Jesus gave this utterance.
Yeah.
Of course, there are other religions that are offended by Jesus saying that. There are lots of philosophies. I think we will unpack them during the course of the week as to what did it actually mean. Does Jesus say that he's the only one? Or there are other options through which people can get to the Father. So there are other religions as well. So Christians are accused of having this bold claim to say their religion is the only one. They say you are arrogant and intolerant by saying that. But the truth of the matter is, it's not us. It's not Christians who say that. It's actually Christ who said that. The claim is not ours, it's his. He's the one who said that. By saying that, what was he saying? He was saying, I am the only one who came from heaven. I am going back there I am the only one who knows the way to go there. And I am that way.
Mm. Yeah, he is the only way, as it were. Now, you know, he says, you know, I am the only way. I am this and this and that. Now, how does that phrase, the one that says I am, connect him to the God of the Old Testament?
Thank you so much. In Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, Jesus, when Moses was called to be the one who was supposed to take the Israelites out of Egypt, this statement was said, and the Hebrews understood, unlike us today, that every time when this statement, this phrase was used, the I am, it was a phrase that exclusively referred to God and not to anyone else. It's an exclusive statement that refers to the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, Elohim, the one who made the heavens and the earth. So when Jesus said, I am, they understood perfectly well the implications. Jesus was saying, I am one with the one who appeared to the patriarchs and to the prophets, to the fathers. I am he who appeared in the wilderness. In John chapter 8, Jesus actually clarifies that he had a clash with the Jews. They were condemning him about Abraham and Moses, and they compared. This is what he says in verse 58. On verse 57, they spoke about the father Abraham, and they said, you. And he said, Abraham was glad to see my day. They said, how can this be? You are just a young boy, Joseph's son. How can you say that? You are not even 50 years old, and yet you claim that you have seen Abraham. On verse 58, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So the very same statement that is said by the God of the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3, Jesus says in the New Testament, he identifies himself with the I am, which is the Elohim, the Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament.
Yeah. Now, why do you think Christ uses the definite article, they, rather than a, as in, I am the way, vis-a-vis, I am a way?
That's a good one, Zama. So let's use English and then we'll come back to religion.
Mm.
If you see a sticker that says, beware of a dog, it means there might be any stray dog from any direction. But if you see a sticker that says, beware of the dog is not far from where that sticker is, or wherever you are about to enter, that's where the dog is.
Yeah.
So there and a, one is a definite article, the other one is an indefinite article. So when Jesus says, I am the way, that's a definite article, as opposed to I am a way. If Jesus is a way, he can be one of many ways. There could be so many ways, and he's one of those ways, so he's a way that goes to the Father. He doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the way,
yeah,
meaning one unique, exclusive. Other than him, there is no other.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, you know, let's look at what the difference or the main difference would be then between Christianity as a way of life and Christianity as the only path to God.
Thank you so much. First, let me start by saying, when Jesus said this statement, they say Christianity is exclusive. The truth of the matter is Christianity is not exclusive. Christianity is inclusive. Everyone, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever, that includes everyone, everyone is included, should not perish. But Christ's title is exclusively this. So he is God and none other. So what does this say about Christianity as the way of life, of, as a way of life, and Christianity as an exclusive religion? Is that what you asked me? So, as Christians, we can be clear in our beliefs without being dismissive or hateful. So we can mention what we believe. We can mention what the Bible says, because Christianity is a Bible-based religion. It's based on sola scriptura, what the Bible says. That's what we believe. So whatever the Bible says, that's what we claim. Even the disciples in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, they say there is no other name given under heaven through which we may be saved except the name of Jesus. So that's the exclusivity part. So we don't have to be judgmental to others. At the same time, we don't have to be compromising to what we believe so that we can include others. We just have to be truthful to what we believe.
Wow. Now, what would you then say, Pastor Matasha, is the difference between, in fact, I've already asked that question, but how then can we distinguish between being exclusive in our faith and being tolerant in our behavior?
Exactly. So Christianity is a religion based on a deity. And this deity is a God who later became a man, who came to substitute our position so that he can solve the problem of sin, according to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then later the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten of God. So Christianity is based on God, and this God is love. So Christianity is a love religion. So we can demonstrate what we believe by living a life full of love, as opposed to other religions that either you believe or we chop your head. Christianity must demonstrate the power of excluding everyone and extending the love to everyone, even to those who are without the parameters of our belief, so that they understand through our God, we are transformed and be like Jesus, who even blessed the people who were busy crucifying him and killing him. So we don't need to be hateful and arrogant and intolerant. Otherwise, we will be losing the plot. We need to demonstrate love and stand for our beliefs without being hateful or without disrespect. We need to share our faith with gentleness and with respect.
You seem to be extending this quite wide and quite far, Pastor Matasha. You're saying everyone, you look at, literally a hugely inclusive kind of a situation with Christ. And yet, he's the one with his own words who says, I have come only to the house of Israel. That's what he says with his own mouth. Now,
yes,
if he says that his mission is only to the lost sheep of Israel, now you want to include everybody here, and yet by his own admission, He's exclusive. He's only come to the lost sheep of Israel, only.
That's nice. That's nice. He says that 100%. But what was the context? The reason why he chose the Israel was so that Israel can be a light. That's why in chapter 5 of Matthew, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. You are a city built upon a hill. So you are the light. He came to spark that light so that the world can benefit from that light. So the context in which he said, I am sent to this, he came to reclaim or to bring back the lost Israel to their original mission of being the light to the whole world, so that the world, like Abraham in the foreign land, they may benefit, like Joseph in Egypt, like Daniel in Babylon. So that was the context. If you check Romans chapter 11, the grafted tree, Israel was not called so that they become the only people of God. They were called so that they are taught, they learn, then they demonstrate to the whole world the mission that Christ had. Like I said, John chapter 3, verse 16, the most known, the most beautiful, the most read. God so loved the world, not Israel. But what was the strategy? It's like a company that is running, and you call the bosses and the supervisors. You tell them what you want the company to be, where you want the company to go, what are the values of the company, and then you say, you call them on a training, then you say, go and implement this on the ground. That's what Jesus was doing. So Christianity is exclusive, is inclusive to all, but divinity is exclusive to Christ alone.
Now, we live in the postmodern society, Pastor. I'm sure you would admit that. I mean, it's 2026 for crying out loud. And we truly, I mean, the 20th century has come and gone. And we are moving forward, and the world is becoming inclusive, and really the world is becoming a small place. I mean, you are sitting all the way in your country. I'm sitting in my country. We are having a conversation in real time, quite inclusive of everyone. Now, what would really be at stake if we try to soften and really relook or reinterpret this claim in our modern times?
Thank you so much. Because of this postmodern society, really we are in trouble, because now there are lots of philosophies growing up, and people are claiming that there is nothing called absolute truth. There's no absolute truth. So everyone can have their own truth. So I can have my truth. You have your own truth. Everyone has their own truth. But that is not true. Jesus here is actually saying there is absolute truth when it pertains to matters of salvation, heaven, and divinity. Jesus is 100% exclusive. What is at stake if we soften this claim? If we soften this claim and we want to be inclusive and say, yeah, even Buddha or Muhammad or those who worship Hinduism, Shintoism, and all other isms. The core of Christianity is based on Christ, and Christ is the one who said he is the only path to salvation. And he doesn't say that this in John chapter 14 alone. In John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, there was a sanctuary, it had one door, and he says, I am that door. Without coming through that door, there was no other door. So Christianity, based on what Christ said, is the only way. We don't need to compromise on this one. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 4, that I have already quoted, it says, there is no other name given under heaven through which we may be saved. Now, this may offend people because of the different cultural backgrounds and where people are coming from, but that does not make this truth less true because it's offending to others. This is what Christ said. This is whom we believe in. That's what we follow. That's what we is written in the book that we believe. So we can't say otherwise if he has said it.
Yeah, somebody may say, and in closing, that perhaps you guys believe in Christianity because that's what you were exposed to. If you had grown up in China, you would probably be following some Chinese religion. If you were, which is Buddhism, if you were born in some country in Asia, you probably would be following it. But because you're in Africa, which was predominantly Christian, that's why you ended up being Christian, not about a matter of choice.
That's a powerful argument. I've heard people say that to me. And at prima facie, it makes perfect sense. But I'm going to give you a short testimony.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to evangelize to Muslims. Ask any Christian who tried that. Mm-hmm. It's a mammoth task. They don't, the discussion does not even go anywhere. Once you say God, they say there's no God but Allah. Mm-hmm. We tried so many times, we failed.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started praying for people, I was just saying, anyone who has problems, I believe my God is big enough. He can answer your prayers. He loves you. Mm-hmm. I can pray for you. Mm-hmm. You know, people love to be prayed for, even though they are not Christians. We miss the plot because more often than not, we want to pray for people of our church or of our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was praying for just anyone, and God did many miracles that I will explain sometime later. But one of the greatest for me, one day, I was called by two people. The first one was a Muslim.
Yeah.
The Muslim called me and said, I have been given my number by someone who has given your number by someone who has given by your number by someone you prayed for. They said, if this guy prays for you, his God does something. This is what the Muslim said to me. Before I say anything more, I want you to know that I am a Muslim and I don't believe in your God, but I have a problem. I have tried everything that I was taught in Islam and the problem persists. I don't know if your God is able to solve my problem. I said, I believe my God is able to solve your problem. Let's try him. Since you have already tried what you were taught and it failed, just tell me what is the problem and I'll pray for you. And that's what I did. I did precisely that. And the Muslim kept on calling me and he was telling me, I have never seen such power. I'll tell you one day what was happening in the life. That was changed by prayer. I never opened the Bible. I prayed for him and he realized a power that he did not see in the religion that he was taught. The second person I prayed for was a Jehovah's Witness. You know these people, all Christians, they don't want anyone to pray for them. So most of the times as Christians, we lose the plot by trying to say, if someone belongs to another religion, they are lost. No, God is in the process of working for someone, for everyone to get a chance at salvation so that they make personal choices. So if someone who was brought and born in Islam could come and witness the power of Jesus through prayer, maybe if I was also born in China, maybe.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I just lost you there for the last 3 seconds, but that's okay. I must thank you so much for coming through. It's been a fantastic first conversation this week. We'll connect with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place as we continue to explore this very subject. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, brother. Shalom.
Shalom.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.